in national news. On Wednesday, May 29th, KMUD got an opportunity to speak with our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman, in this interview. Good afternoon, Congressman Huffman, and thank you for joining me. Our country and democracy seem to be facing unprecedented times, so I'd like to open today's check-in with an overview and update on what's been unfolding.
Well, thanks, Lauren. It's good to be back with you, and you're right. There is just so much in the balance right now. Consequential stuff, like, you know, the future of our democracy, and, you know, will we see it replaced by a theocracy? What does it mean for our role on the world stage as a global leader if our alliances disintegrate and if Russia prevails in Ukraine and China gets an idea to go after Taiwan or North Korea and South Korea? All of this is so high stakes and ominous, and it just underscores what an important moment this is. I will tell you, as somebody in the trenches representing this district, it's not a pleasant time to be in the arena, but it's an incredibly important one, and that's what keeps me pretty motivated to get up every day.
The big national news is former President Donald Trump's criminal trial. What are your key takeaways, and how do you expect the jury to rule?
Yeah, so I haven't been hanging on every detail of this trial like, you know, apparently some Americans. And I have discouraged people from doing that because I'm not sure it's totally healthy. And I think, you know, even those of us, you know, like me, I mean, I'm a huge detractor of Donald Trump. I think he's the worst person in the world. But I want the justice system to play out. I don't play the, you know, lock 'em up game with the rule of law and the justice system. So I've kind of tried to refrain from saying anything that suggests I'm trying to get ahead of the legal process, and we'll just see where it goes. But I'm also an old trial lawyer, and to the extent I have followed this, I've seen an awful lot of compelling evidence coming in. It's obviously, you know, not hard to find one juror to hang things and prevent a conviction, but this evidence is pretty one-sided in my assessment. And I guess I will be surprised if there's not a conviction on at least some of the charges. You know, where that takes us, I don't know. And I think there's plenty of worry about in that regard, since, you know, Donald Trump has sort of cultivated this this ethos of a political party that never accepts defeat and will do whatever it takes to get its way. That's worrisome.
You mentioned the justice system, which has also been in the news, as Supreme Court Justice Alito tells Congress that he will not recuse himself from January 6-related cases, despite being revealed that he flew two controversial flags that signal the movement to overtake democracy and replace it with a theocracy. Do you think he should be recused from all church and state separation cases that come before the Supreme Court?
Totally. Yeah, and I am really beginning to speak out on that as the chair of the Freethought Caucus in the Congress. This was not just a controversial flag. This appeal to heaven flag that he flew for 2 months at his summer home in New Jersey is the most visible symbol of the extreme Christian nationalist movement that was, you know, the heart and soul of the January 6th insurrection. These are folks that openly call for theocracy, that have our democracy in the crosshairs, that want to replace it with a Bible-based republic. And I mean, they're not even subtle about these things. They just come right out and say it. The guy who popularized this appeal to heaven flag is a Christian nationalist pastor named Dutch Sheets. And he claims to have actually created Justice Alito. He claims that his prayers and prophetic decrees created the vacancy on the Supreme Court that George W. Bush used to fill with both Chief Justice Roberts and Alito. And so, you know, Alito has certainly answered those prayers and has been the driving force behind a bunch of decisions that roll back church-state separation, that basically read the Establishment Clause out of the Constitution. And now I guess what strikes me about these latest episodes is there's just so much impunity. He just feels untouchable, that he can fly these flags from his home And the one in New Jersey at his beach house, you've probably seen the picture. It was a three-flag kind of array with the appeal to heaven at the very top, very prominent. And, you know, there's nothing accidental about flying that particular flag. Nobody even knows about that flag unless they are part of this extreme Christian nationalist movement that sort of rediscovered it as this forgotten relic of the Revolutionary War era and then began promoting it as the symbol for their cause. So this is not innocent. It's extremely sinister, and it speaks to the kind of corruption and impunity that we have, unfortunately, on the Supreme Court right now.
Turning to another court, the International Criminal Court. Prosecutors requested arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and Hamas leaders, which sparked outrage from the Prime Minister. And more recently, the White House has opposed a Republican bill to sanction the ICC. What is your take on the ICC's ruling and the move from the White House?
Yeah, so I don't know yet if there will be an arrest warrant issued, but I do know that we shouldn't be meddling in the middle of proceedings where international law is playing out. It would have to be a very compelling situation for us to do something like that. And I am for letting the international court, you know, run its course. I'm very concerned about some of the targeting and warfighting decisions that Israel has made. Now, you know, some of the information we get is maybe not totally reliable. This is war. And in the fog of war, you know, the facts are a casualty usually. But we can certainly see enough from the footage and from some of the international organizations that are on the ground to cause me concern that there is a big problem with this war plan. And so I am for really dialing up the pressure from the United States. We're the only country that can really bring it for Israel to back off and reconsider the way it is going after Hamas. I think they have an absolute right to go after Hamas. While we're talking about all of these bad things Israel is doing, Hamas continues to launch rockets and to hold hostages and to give every indication that it will hang on and come back and engage in more terrorist acts. So they need to be brought to account as well. But I want to end this terrible war. It's just heart-wrenching in every way. There's not consensus on exactly how to end it, but it's horrible and it needs to end.
That brings me to my next question. John Kirby, the United States National Security Council coordinator, says that the United States believes that ground operations are not warranted in Rafah. However, despite providing billions of dollars in funding, the United States is unable to sway or influence Prime Minister Netanyahu and his far-right cabinet. An analysis in the Israeli publication Haaretz suggests that Netanyahu does not want the war in Gaza to end. So it poses the question, will this war end and how and what happens afterwards?
Yeah, I worry about all of it. Certainly the United States has more leverage than anyone else to demand those changes. But this war cabinet of Netanyahu's is really conservative and extreme. And some of them, frankly, are Jewish supremacists that are openly calling for the reestablishment of settlements and outposts and the removal of Palestinians from Gaza. They're already doing much of that in the West Bank. And I am appalled by all of it. So, you know, there are a number of tools available to us. You would think at some point that the importance of the U.S. relationship to Israel would be taken seriously enough that Israel would change course, the current government. But this current government is extreme, and Netanyahu himself is really compromised. It may be that drawing out this war and using it, politicizing it, is the way he keeps himself out of prison. And that's a terrible spot for us as well. So I certainly want him gone. I agree with Chuck Schumer that Netanyahu should be removed by the people of Israel. There should be an election. There should be a new leader. And I think if we can build some pressure for that, we will see a more humane and sensible strategy from them. And I'm also worried that they don't have a day after strategy here. There will continue to be a residual of Hamas no matter what. And if Israel has no plan for how to bring peace to that region, how to support a Palestinian state, if they assume they're going to be able to just, you know, maintain a military occupation, then this is not going to end, and it could be a forever war. So I'm really worried about all of these things. There are no simple solutions that I can see, but that is the disturbing landscape I'm trying to sort through.
Again, that was our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman. If you have questions for our representative, you can email them to news@kayman.org. After speaking with Congressman Huffman, there were updates in Donald Trump's criminal case. After 10 hours of deliberation, a jury of 12 New Yorkers found former President Donald Trump guilty on all 34 counts of felony falsification of business records in his criminal hush money trial. The charges stem from a payment made to an adult film star, Stormy Daniels, during the final days of the 2016 presidential election to cover up a sex scandal. Trump was convicted on Thursday, marking a historic verdict in a trial that tested the resilience of the American justice system and will have significant implications for the upcoming election. His sentencing is scheduled for July 11th.